with Dave Isaac coming out of Philadelphia. Dave, thanks a lot for giving us some time here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
He is the Flyers beat reporter for the Courier-Post. So at 11, the Philadelphia is going to be picking there. What's your sense of where the direction of that draft pick could be lending? I know there's a lot of deep prospects coming up, but is it something they want to keep building there?
Yeah, if they do indeed keep the pick, I think defense might be the way that they go with it. But just speaking with Chuck Fletcher about an hour ago, he's dangled that pick out there and says that as of right now, he hasn't gotten a whole lot of bite back, the pick right after the Canucks there. But he says that that may change by the time June 21st rolls around. It'll be really interesting to see if the Flyers keep that pick, because they're in a space now where their prospect pool was left so deep for Chuck Fletcher that he can kind of afford to part with it if he wants to and have it be a trading piece, because this is a team that wants to improve more so immediately than invest in the future, because, like I said, they have so many of those prospects coming. But to your point, yes, if they keep it, I think defense is the way to go, because that's probably the part that needs replenishment the soonest.
What's your sense then if they are dangling that pick? And we could see some fireworks on the 21st here in Vancouver. Is it going to be for an NHL player? Is it going to be for a D-man? Or are they looking to make some improvements up front?
Well, yes to both of those things. They're certainly looking to take care of business up front, and they attempted to do that last week by trading for the rights of Kevin Hayes. Nothing has come to fruition there yet, and the deadline for them internally is kind of the draft, because if they can't work something out with Kevin Hayes, and the ensuing Sunday, the day after the draft, teams can start getting in his ear and providing other offers, then the Flyers really have to look for another option, because it's clear that they're looking to build some center depth there. So maybe that pick gets used on a center. If not, I could also see it being used on a defenseman, because they are pretty green on the back end. A lot of those prospects that have come up don't have a ton of experience, and they're certainly looking to add somebody that has a few years of service in the NHL on the back end there. So if they do keep the pick, it'll probably go to a defenseman. It may end up being used on a defenseman, even if they don't make that selection themselves.
Yeah, because when you look at their recent draft history, the last 3 years, in the first round, they've had 5 forwards taken. Joel Farabee, Jay O'Brien last year, Nolan Patrick and Morgan Frost the year before, and German Rubstov from Russia was taken. Prior to that, in the 3 drafts, their top picks were all D. Ivan Provorov, Travis Sanheim, Samuel Morin. So you think that they're trending to look to improve their depth pool on the blue line? Should they keep the 11th pick?
Yeah, because all of those guys are now in the NHL. Sam Morin didn't play a whole lot last year. He had surgery to repair a torn ACL last May, so he missed the majority of the season. But he would have been on the NHL roster if he were healthy and had made the team out of camp. So they're looking for a bit of replenishment there. They don't really have any blue-chip defense prospects left after all those guys have kind of graduated to the NHL.
When you spoke with Chuck Fletcher, I know there's a lot of things being discussed when he and his assistant GM Brent Flair were speaking with reporters in Philadelphia this morning. Did Jay O'Brien's decision to leave Providence College and come out here to Western Canada to play in the BC Hockey League with the Penticton Vs, did that come up? And what is Philadelphia thinking about one of their high-end prospects having to, and he'll go back to college, but essentially has to take a year off of NCAA hockey to redshirt and come out and play in Junior A in Canada?
Right. No, it was a pretty wide-ranging conversation, but we didn't get to Jay O'Brien. And, yeah, that was a bit of a strange situation. I do know in talking with his camp that the Flyers were completely on board with that decision. But he had a tough year, a tough freshman year. When he went to college, he had a few hits to the head and missed a lot of time. So there's already concern about concussions with him. And he just didn't get to play all that much, even when he was seemingly healthy, because he's trying to join a really premier school's lineup in the middle of the season when they're, you know, playing at very high competition. And he's a freshman on top of that. So it wasn't a great season for him. And I think he just kind of wanted to hit the reset button. There's a risk with making a move like that and going out of college and going to the BCHL, and that's if you're not one of the league leaders or the league leader, it's going to be looked upon as a real problem. because that is a step back in terms of competition. So there's certainly going to be a microscope on Jay O'Brien coming into the next season.
We're talking to Dave Isaac from the Courier-Post as the playbook continues their draft profiles of every team ahead of the draft here in Vancouver. Flyers picking 11th. We'll move away from the draft and just start looking at the pro side here. What are some of the motivations of how this team is approaching this offseason? Because I look at Claude Giroux, he's 31, 3 years left. Are they trying to kind of set this up to make another run here while they still have Giroux kind of in the back end of his prime?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a part of it, but a bigger part of it is that the ownership group, which is really led by Comcast, they've kind of been the ones at the forefront of saying, okay, it's time to push on the gas pedal a little bit harder. That's what led to the firing of Ron Hextall. They didn't think that his operation was moving quickly enough, and they weren't ready to contend just yet. So Chuck Fletcher was kind of able to hold those guys at bay during the season and not blow it all for rentals just to get in and try and do what the St. Louis Blues essentially did and just sneak in and then see what happens. But now it is that time, and he's getting some pressure, Chuck Fletcher is, from ownership. And like you mentioned, there's some older veterans, Claude Giroux probably being the most senior of them, where that window is starting to close. So they need to really invest and really make a run here. And this is a team that's got several RFAs. And I heard you guys talking just before I came on about what happens with Brock Besser. Chuck Fletcher said that everybody is kind of looking around at one another in the RFA market to see who goes first and what that deal will look like all the way around the league. So the Flyers have a few of them. You mentioned Ivan Provorov, Travis Konecny. Those are two guys who are up this year. Travis Sanheim is another. The Flyers are going to have to spend a considerable amount of their cap space on their own restricted free agents. But the question becomes, is the bridge deal extinct? Is that something that some of these guys want to look into? Provorov didn't have a terrific year. Is he going to want to do a short-term deal and bet on himself and come back for a big payday later on? It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the RFA market this summer.
We'll get you out on this. If there is pressure coming in from the top, from the ownership group, does that put everything on the table? And I'm looking at a guy like Shane Gostisbehere. Obviously, they've got great prospects coming in, but if you can clear $4.5 million out with a guy like him, A, is that a reality? And B, what do you think he would fetch?
I think that's definitely a reality. And that cap hit, $4.5 million, when he's on his game, that's a pretty team-friendly contract if he's able to contribute offensively, which he wasn't able to do with great proliferation this past season. He was a really big power play guy. Their power play struggled tremendously. So if I could see that being the case, that maybe the Flyers do part with Shane Gostisbehere. If that's what happens, I think he gets packaged with something else. Maybe that number 11 overall to get a big-name defenseman, somebody who can play with Ivan Provorov on the top pair.
He is Dave Isaac of the Courier-Post. Dave, thanks a lot for giving us some time here today.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dave.